Today's episode of the Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors. If you're thinking about some new windows or a new door, let me give you some assistance with where to start. First of all, you got to go with Pella. That's obvious. And with Pella, there are a couple of directions you can go to get things started. Number one, you can schedule a free in-home consultation. That's right, free. You'll get a Pella expert out to sit down with you, look at your home, and they are going to be able to put together a Greg McDermott-esque game plan for you that fits your home, your budget, your wants, and your needs. That's one option. Or option number two, you can head out to their showrooms. They got showrooms in Omaha and Lincoln. The showroom's really cool, man. It sometimes it helps to actually see the window, see the door, feel it, open it, close it to get a better feel for exactly what you're installing in your home. So the showroom is a great place to start as well. Any direction you go to start, just know that Pella can 100% provide window and door solutions to any home. Check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. And the Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Runza. Been banging this drum, you gotta get the Runza app. Like, go straight to the app store right now and download it, because you can order food in the app, have it ready to be picked up in the restaurant. You can earn points for rewards. In fact, when you download the app, you can get $5 off your first order in the app. It's one of the best apps of all time. So go and download the Runza app. You can get Runza, get rewards, then get more Runza, all on the app. Runza makes it all better. Okay, so welcome back into the podcast. Few quick things before I set up today's pod. I got some big things coming with my podcast, man. Right in time for Husker football season. Got some big developments going on with the pod that I'm really, really excited about. So be on the lookout for some pretty cool stuff coming up here, really starting this week. Bo Rude and I are going to be recording a big, massive, huge Nebraska football season preview coming up. So be on the lookout for that. And then, of course, we're going to have all the game recaps for the season, you know, starting with the Illinois game coming up on August 28th. We'll have the recap pod pushed out for you. So got you completely covered on the Husker football front with some big things coming for the pod. But on today's podcast, I got a very special guest. This is the, on the pod today, is the greatest player in the history of Creighton basketball. 3,000 points, three-time All-American, National Player of the Year, and the newest member of the San Antonio Spurs, Doug McDermott, is on the podcast. Dougie recently signed a brand new three-year, $42 million deal with the Spurs. Get paid, Dougie. I was able to catch up with Doug, and I wanted to get this pod out ASAP just because he just signed with the Spurs. He's fresh off of it, and I wanted to get this pod out as soon as I could. Doug's coming off a career year with the Indiana Pacers. Career high in points, 13 points per game off the bench for Indiana. Had a great season. Couple of nuggets about Doug. Last season, Doug was one of 10 players to make over 100 threes while shooting over 50% from the field. Pretty good. Also, another nugget for you. Doug is one of only 9 active players in the NBA with over 600 three-pointers while shooting over 40% from three. Pretty impressive stuff. Really, really impressive resume Dougie's built up. He's starting to kind of settle in to his own in the NBA. This is a great chat, man. We did a deep dive on, you know, why he wanted to sign with the Spurs, kind of what he's learned so far through, you know, the first 6-7 years in the NBA. We talked about, you know, kind of all that goes into how he trains and gets ready for each season, what he thinks about when he's shooting, a bunch of different stuff. And then we talked a little bit about Bruce Rasmussen, the newest member of the Creighton basketball team with the recruiting class that's already here, the top 5 class. Doug's got some thoughts on those guys. Just hit on a bunch of different stuff. So let's get to it. Here's my podcast chat with former Blue Jay legend and current member of the San Antonio Spurs, Doug McDermott. Enjoy. All right, online now, Dougie McBuckets, Doug McDermott, newest member of the San Antonio Spurs, which we're going to get into quite a bit here. Dougie, how are things? How are you, pal?
Doing well, Nick. I appreciate you having me. It's been a while. You know, yeah. It's been a crazy summer, you know, just kind of anticipating what's going to happen. And, you know, I'm just super excited, you know, to be a Spur. You know, yeah. It's a first-class organization, and, you know, just kind of the gold standard of the league. So just to be able to join a place like that, I'm just like, I'm thrilled.
Right. What's take me through? Let's just get right into the Spurs, because what was it about that situation? I mean, you signed a 3-year deal with San Antonio. I'd imagine you had other suitors and other, you know, opportunities to consider. What was it about San Antonio that appealed to you?
Yeah, I think it just obviously just their reputation, of developing guys and playing there throughout the years, just the way they play. I think it just fits my game really well. I think Popovich is obviously one of the best coaches of all time. So to be able to learn from a guy like that and develop under him, and this is kind of a stage in my career where I'm starting to get kind of old. It's kind of weird.
Right.
But I'm going into my 8th year, and it's going to be a very young team, and I'm going to be one of the kind of the leaders. I'll be one of the older guys on the team. I think I'm the second oldest behind Thaddeus, and I think it'll just be a fun experience. I think there's a lot of young talent on the team. I think they just drafted, Josh Primo, who's like 18 years old,
Yeah.
and I just think it'll be really, it really just drew to me just to
Yeah.
be a part of this young team. And build it. I kind of like being an underdog, and I think a lot of people have probably, written us off. But it's fun to be a part of stuff like that. So I'm just excited to get down there and, get to work.
Now, have you? I mean, Pop has been overseas with with Team USA in the Olympics, so I'm not sure. Have you been able to talk with Coach Popovich like at all during this?
Yeah, a little bit here and there. Right when I signed, obviously. Cell phone stuff's a little different over there, so
Right.
he was over in Tokyo and he was really focused on that. But I've been in touch with really a lot of the assistants, Becky Hammon, and a bunch of the player development guys. When I was down there, visiting San Antonio and getting kind of settled in, they were all around, and then they had to take off for Vegas. So just initially just saying hello and getting to know him a little bit, but I'm going to go down there probably after Labor Day and really spend some time with all of them. So I'm just really excited, man. I mean, it's one of the best staffs, in RC Buford, the head of the whole operation. I've gotten to know his son really well, Chase. He played at KU, and he was actually on staff with us in Chicago under Fred. So just kind of had a connection there, and I just always respected, obviously Popovich and RC. And just always had, I've always had interest in playing there. So to get something done is just, it's a dream come true.
Yeah, I've always, it's when people have talked to me and asked me about you, I always say, Doug's one of those guys, he needs to get in the right system. And I always say, like the Spurs. Like that, I always throw out two teams. I always say, like the Spurs or like how the Warriors play, like where the ball really moves and all that. Like, it's just cool. When I saw it, I was like, oh, yes. I mean, because they are, they're not stuck in the Stone Age or anything like that. They're not running flex or something like that. But they're like, but they really move the ball. It's not a lot of ISO. You know what I mean? It's stuff that suits your game well.
For sure. Yeah. And I think, these last 2 or 3 years in Indiana have been obviously really good for me. And, I can't thank them enough, for, really believing in me and taking me in, 3 years ago, and just kind of letting me play. It was just a really fun system to play in. Obviously, I played with some really good players there that really helped me out a ton. I have to give a lot of credit to, Nate McMillan and Chad Buchanan, Kevin Pritchard, and Nate Bjorkgren for this past season. Just let me play through a lot of mistakes because I definitely wouldn't be here without them. But the Spurs, it just it's that team you grew up watching, the way they play. Everyone in college, like you're like the coaches will yell at you, let's start moving the ball like the Spurs. Just they're known for just their unselfish play. So that just fits me so well in the way I play, because I'm not gonna ISO you and I'm not gonna take you off the dribble necessarily. I really rely on just playing with really good unselfish players.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up Indiana, and I mean, you had a not a good year, like a career year this last year. It was a career high in points. You shot 53% from the floor, and I was reading up on some stuff. It's kind of amazing to think about when you hear things like, so you were one of 10 players in the NBA to make over 100 three-pointers while shooting over 50% from the field last year. Pretty amazing. And then you're one of only 9 active players in the NBA with over 600 three-pointers while shooting at least 40% from three. I feel like last year in particular, you really started to kind of come into your own. Did you feel that way? Like, did you feel like some stuff was really starting to click for you?
Yeah, I really did. I think in the NBA, you hear guys talk about it all the time. It just takes time. It takes a lot of time to really just learn the league and learn systems and just the style and the pace of play. And things this year just really slowed down for me. I just felt like I could really get to my spots, just really know exactly what these defenses are doing and understanding, you know, other teams' systems. And, you know, Coach Nate Bjorkren, this past year, like, we had a lot of injuries, so he had to play us a lot. And it was my first time in my career where, you know, I really played through mistakes, you know, played through foul trouble, just like was still out there on the floor, like figuring it out. Regardless if I missed my first five threes or made my first five threes, I was still out there in crunch time. And that was the biggest learning experience for me. And I think it helped me out a ton. And just my confidence is just being able to play through mistakes and just knowing that, you know, it's a long game and, you know, there's a long season. There's a lot of opportunities ahead. And that was the main thing for me. It really all slowed down and it all clicked. And, you know, I'm just extremely thankful of the opportunity because, you know, I wouldn't be here now. And I think it's going to be huge for me going forward as well.
You kind of went there with what you've learned over the years. Like, when you think back to being in Chicago, your rookie year, second year, like, are you physically a better player now, or is the improvement more mentally, or is it both?
It's a little bit of both. You know, I think whenever you go in a situation where you're not playing a ton, you know, your rookie year, you know, it's tough mentally because, you know, you question yourself a little, like, am I ready for this? You know, like, you know, there's some doubt that creeps in for sure, to be honest. And, you know, I think that was a really challenging year for me. But I look back at it and, you know, I wouldn't have it any other way because I've learned the hard way. You know, some guys get to come in and, you know, play right away as rookies and it's easy for them. And I just really grinded. And I've ever since then, I've just had this attitude that I'm still a rookie and I still got to work for everything. And I never have gotten comfortable, you know, in the league. So I think that's really helped me. And I've played for a ton of coaches. I've been kind of bounced around the league a little bit. And I think it's all kind of led itself to this situation. And, you know, I'm just really, really excited to be in this spot. And, you know, I'm glad that I've gone through what I've gone through in these past 7 years because I wouldn't be here without them.
And I don't want to ever compare me to you in our careers, but like I was thinking about your career and I was then thinking about my college career, and stay with me here for a second. Cause what I struggled with this in college, Doug, where, you know, it all of a sudden for me, you know, you go from playing a lot to sitting on the bench and not playing a lot. I had a hard time staying confident when I wasn't playing. And then for a lot of my career at Creighton, I was a role player off the bench, you know, and some days you might get two shots, some days you might get 11 shots, and some days you might play 12 minutes, some days you might play 25 minutes. Those are hard places to be in. How have you navigated it? Now, you've talked about that mentality of trying to continue to grind and you know, be a like have that rookie mentality, if you will. But how have you managed that? Because I know for a lot of people, like being a guy off the bench, coming off the bench to shoot and score is harder than people think.
Right, it really is, and you know it's been a huge learning experience. You know, there's been some ups and downs with it, obviously. You know, and it's one of those deals, you know, like you come to the NBA and, you know, I would compare it to like when you were in high school, you're the best player on the floor, you know, you're the best player on your team. And that's kind of how I was in college. And you get any opportunity you want and you kind of get used to that. And then you get to the NBA and everyone's the best player on their college team. You know, everyone is that kind of caliber of player and they've been doing it for a really long time. So you just got to mentally just know that, you know, it's going to take some time. And for me, you know, I was playing a four man my whole college career and I've had to transition into like a wing and running off pin downs at the highest level. So I've kind of had to change my game. And it's not easy to change your game when you're playing in the NBA. Like you have to really, really, you know, it takes time. It takes a lot of work. And, you know, when I'm sitting on that bench and watching the game, I know it's go time. You know, I have to mentally get myself in that space to just come out and be as aggressive as possible because that's what they want me to do. You know, I'm not out there to be guarding LeBron. I'm out there to come off, fly off pin downs, be the best teammate I can be and just putting pressure on the defense. And once I figure that out, that they want you to be aggressive. They want you to shoot as many, they want you to get up as many threes as you can. That's kind of the mentality I had this past season and the year before. And it just really helped me a ton.
Right. Okay. So you talked about how you're coming off a lot of pin downs. You've kind of had to change your game a little bit from being a four man at Creighton. What are your workouts like now? I mean, take me through a typical workout, the length of it. What are some things you work on? I think I remember Kyle might have been on JJ Redick's podcast or something. He was talking about how, he wants to go hard, and then the second he gets tired, he wants to stop. He doesn't like to shoot when he's tired because you kind of develop bad form, which is an interesting thought. But like, what are your workouts like now? Take me through a typical workout.
Yeah, I'm kind of the opposite of Kyle. Like I mean, I'm sure we do a lot of the same stuff, but I love pushing through that. Okay. I love it's straight just conditioning stuff now. Like, I'm kind of over the days where I'm doing a lot of cone drills or ball handling, all that stuff, that you see online. I like just being in there with a couple guys and literally just running as much as I can and getting as many game shots as I can and game floaters and finishing around the rim, trying to just get myself to shoot really awkward shots in the lane.
Right.
And then, shooting threes, I'll literally, start in one corner, then I'll sprint to the other corner on the other side of the court and try to shoot like as many as I can when I'm tired, because that's my job. And a lot of times when you're out there on an NBA floor, you're not going to have your legs and you're going to be tired. So I like training myself through that stuff. And I try to get guys to come in and really contest it, try to block every one of my shots, because in the NBA, you're shooting over a ton of length and you're not always going to be open. So I like to just put myself through almost like a conditioning workout.
Gotcha.
With a ton of shots.
Gotcha. Yeah. Cause some people like to separate those two things. You know what I mean? Like, okay, I'm going to do my conditioning and then I'm going to do my shooting. And
right.
And yeah, it sounds like combining those things. I've done that before
where right. I tried to just like, okay, I'm going to go and get a ton of shots up and then I'm going to go to the track later and get my conditioning. But I learned then when I got to training camp, I was kind of missing a ton of shots because I wasn't really putting myself through game reps when I was on the floor. So
right.
I thought that I needed to incorporate more, conditioning in my shooting workouts, because it just helps a ton when your timing's different. You're not always just going to be, butt naked in the corner,
right,
getting continuous passes from a rebounder. It's way different in a game. So I really tried to change that the past few years, and it's paid off.
So are you that – I mean, it's the cliche from a lot of coaches, but I actually think it's really true of, like, are you one of those guys that everything you do is game speed? Like, you don't do a lot of, people do the slow half speed stuff. Like, when you're out there and it's like you get loose, and then when it's go time, you go.
And it's go time. And I'm telling you, Nick, I have times where, I learned a lot when I was in Chicago, because there was some guys around that were still around kind of in the glory days of the Bulls with Steve Kerr and, MJ. And they used to tell me a bunch of Steve Kerr drills, and I was coming off the bench just stiff a lot. So sometimes I don't even get loose. I just go out there and I start trying to do these conditioning shots right away, because you're not loose when you're coming into an NBA game. You're sitting there for, 10, 15 minutes. You're doing the national anthem, starting lineups. You're sitting there on the bench. So I like to kind of train myself where I'm not warmed up. I'm going out there and this is my first shot. And if I don't make it, that's like equivalent to missing your first shot in a game. So
right.
I really try and train my mind to get used to that stuff. And my trainers probably hate me because it's a conditioning workout for them too. but I try and do as much as I can where I'm really simulating, an actual game.
Do you have a shot thought? Like, okay, I have to hold my release. My shoulder's got to be square. Do you have do you try to have one prevailing thought?
I try to have something in the back of my head, I think a lot of guys run into shot thoughts and,
you can get in trouble with that.
I've learned that every shot feels different.
Yes.
It's kind of like a golf swing. Like every shot's going to feel different. Your goal is to get as close to the hole as you can in golf, and in basketball and shooting, you're obviously trying to make every shot, but you're going to miss shots. So I always just in the back of my mind, just try and keep an aggressive mindset thought. Like, regardless, you're just shooting this ball. It doesn't matter what happens. You're shooting it. And, you know, hopefully you end up at 40 or 50%, you know, the best shooters in the world,
Right.
you know, they miss 50% of their shots. So I've really tried to incorporate that into my head. And, you know, I've shot in so many shots in my life. I feel like I kind of know what I'm doing. So I just try to, it's more just a mindset of, you know, just being as aggressive at all times.
So hold on, when you say every shot is different, you mean like this pin down coming to the elbow is a little different than maybe a pin down that's a little at a different angle? Like you mean
Yeah.
you mean literally every shot, no two shots are the same kind of a thing.
Yeah, that's
Okay.
kind of how I feel. You know,
Right, right.
you're always gonna receive the pass differently. You're always
Yes,
gonna
okay.
your footwork could be a little off on each pin down. So it's hard to like really make it feel the same every time. It's more just a mindset thing. Like just it's so hard to explain.
No, I understand exactly
But
what you're
I
saying,
always
though.
just tell myself, just lock into that rim and just be as aggressive as you can at all
Right,
times. And,
right.
you know, I think once you start kind of, you know, really digging in, like, oh, well, my base wasn't right there, you know, my follow through wasn't right there. Then you get into, you know, that guy on the golf course that for every bad shot, you know, like I didn't hold my swing there, you know, and then it kind of carries over into the next one. So I just
Yeah.
try and forget about it and move on because they're all gonna be different.
You know, you're not lying with I have a guilty pleasure. Now there are some basketball trainers on Instagram that are really good. Like I watch their stuff and I'm like, man, that's a really good thought or that's a really good drill or something like that. But then man, you see some of these trainers on Instagram just kill me with, you know, I mean with all that stuff. I bet some of that stuff is like, okay, would that work with nine other human beings on the floor? I doubt it. I don't think so.
Right. 100%. And you know, I think there is some really good stuff though you can do like with your shot. Like I think like when I warm up sometimes, like if I'm at the gym just, you know, doing form shots if I work out before, like I'll try to really just like focus on my balance, you know, focus on my base.
Right.
And I assume that that's going to carry over into my workout and into my game, you know. So that stuff I do lock in on. I'm not telling you that I don't focus on my base or, you know, my landing.
Of course,
I
right.
definitely do, but I feel like I've worked on it enough throughout the years that it's going to carry over once I get out there.
Yes, right. That becomes the muscle memory stuff. You know,
For
like you
sure, for
assume that
sure.
that stuff's gonna. What about over the course of your off season, Doug? How much are you playing 5-on-5 versus what we're talking about? You know, you and a trainer on the floor doing stuff. Like, how much do you balance those two things?
I try and balance it. Like I don't play a ton of 5-on-5 until it gets like kind of around this time, like
Okay.
later in the August going into September, because we start training camp late September. And this year was a little different for me because I was a free agent, and you know, you don't want to play a ton of 5-on-5 early in the summer because you don't want to risk injury. And
Totally.
so I wasn't playing a ton of 5-on-5, so I'm kind of ramping it up now because I kind of missed some time there before I signed. So usually it's more individual stuff and skill stuff until like, you know, mid to late August, and then a lot of guys start playing 5-on-5 to get that game shape. So that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Okay, so I want to keep nerding out over shooting a little bit because I tweeted this out like a couple months ago. I kind of asked a question of if you were gonna teach shooting to a group of kids or just, you know, start a shooting academy, and you had to pick one player to use as like a shot template. You know, it could be Ray Allen, it could be whoever. Like, who would you now? I mean, obviously, I think what we just talked about is everybody's a little different and it's got to work for you. But if you had to pick one person, one player, and say, this is how we're going to model the Doug McDermott Shooting Academy shot. What is there one guy that jumps out? You can't choose yourself.
I would definitely probably say Klay. I would
Okay.
say Klay. I think Klay Thompson, I think it's the prettiest jumper I've seen. Just his balance, his base, you know, it's like perfect every time, you know. And that's the thing, he's running off a ton of pin downs. You know, he's always constantly moving without the ball, but when he releases it always looks the same, you know. It always like the form, the balance, his follow through, like everything looks perfect. And you know, it's been sad to not to see him out there the
I
last few years, because
know.
I
Love
really
that
enjoy
dude.
watching him play. And I just love his mindset and just, you know, how aggressive he is. And he can shoot it from anywhere. You know, he's a really good mid-range shooter, and he's obviously one of the best shooters of all time. So that's one I like to watch. Yeah. I love watching him shoot.
I think oftentimes like a certain shot is about how easily you can continue to replicate it. You know, we talk about that muscle memory, and I think the more simple the stroke is, the easier it is to replicate. And I think that's the thing about Clay that blows me away the most is he has the most, it's the most compact. You say it looks the same every time, and it's so true, but a lot of it is like, it's just so simple. I don't know how he does it. Just his shot is the most simplistically built from his feet to his knees to his shoulder to his hips to the release to everything about it is so simple that you kind of go
there's no wasted motion.
None.
You know, there's no wasted motion. He doesn't dip it. You know, he's always just, it's right there so quick and his arc's perfect. You know, that's something my dad's always harping me on. Right. You know, it's my arc and he's like, you know, just watch Clay. You know, I just watch so much Clay shooting, and you know, it's always just so simple and effortless.
Right.
And you know, he doesn't dip it. I think that's a big thing with kids, and you know, growing up, I think not dipping it, you know, below like when you catch it, just going straight up with it. I think that's just huge, because if you dip it, you're gonna be flat, and you know, if you just catch it and fire it right away without dipping it, you're gonna get way better, you know, trajectory with the ball, and it's just gonna be. It's going to be simple,
right,
like Clay's.
Right. I remember, for me, I think the answer is probably Clay. But for me, I always feel like the guy that doesn't get enough credit for how pretty his jump shot was is Michael Jordan. Like, I actually think he's got a very... Because even he's a guy we talk about, you know, Clay, like, no matter what he does on the floor, like, his shot always looks the same. I kind of think the same thing with Jordan, whether it's a kickout three, a pull-up jumper, a fadeaway. Like, he's got a very compact, good-looking jumper, too, to me.
He really does. He really does. And, you know, his mid-range was obviously just on, you know, it was 100%. He just didn't miss those. And, you know, I think, you know, being a little younger, I didn't really, like, I remember watching MJ, but I don't really remember watching MJ. Like, I have to watch highlights. You know, it's harder for me to, you know, to remember like how good this guy was, you know, and how pretty his shot was.
Right.
But in terms of recent times, yeah, like Clay, you know, Ray Allen.
Yeah, Ray's got a pretty one.
I mean, those guys just, and even Kyle. I mean, Kyle's is so pretty. And Kyle's the kind of guy that can like change his shot. And like, it looks different sometimes, but like, it's always like, it's just pretty. I don't know if it's just because he's Kyle like, Korver, but it just looks pretty every time.
It does, doesn't it? Like, just the one, just even his shot, like, he can make a shot and someone else can make a shot, and Kyle's just looks better. Like, for some reason,
sounds different.
It
just sounds different when it touches the net. It's weird.
The Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors, and I want to talk to you guys about energy efficiency. And if you go into Pella's website right now, you look at it, and how about this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different types of windows or doors. By Pella, won the Energy Star 2020 Most Energy Efficient Award. That's big time stuff right there. And they achieved that in a couple of waves. They got insulated glass, which slows the heat transfer, keeping your home at a more comfortable temperature. They got types of low E glass, which is a glass coating that has been optimized for your climate. They got triple pane glass, which you can upgrade to for increased insulating airspace. And within all of that, one of the keys is proper installation, which is key for window and doors to perform at their best. And you know the Pella experts are excellent at that. Bottom line, energy efficiency matters in making your home more comfortable, and Pella Windows and Doors are at the top of the line when it comes to energy efficiency. Check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. The thing about Kyle that always amazes me is, like, you know, because you're developing this a little bit, but Kyle was like, Kyle could come screaming off a pin down. I'm talking dead sprint, turn, and shoot. And you think, like, oh, that's a wild shot. But if you really slow-mo it and look at just him shooting, he gets square. He, you know, like, the ball's in the right spot. The release is good. Like, yeah, he might be moving quickly and moving maybe, like, parallel from the rim. But, like, if you just look at how he's delivering the ball to the hoop, it's perfect. But somebody can do that going 100 miles per hour.
Yeah, it's so impressive. And honestly, that's kind of where I, you know, I started watching a ton of Kyle, obviously, when I was in college, just my senior year. You know, he came back and played pickup with us a few times, and just watching him work out, and like, I was like, okay, this is a different level of shooting. Right. You know, it's, you know, he's really working on these pin downs, and he's not doing a lot of spot up stuff. He's come flying off 100 miles an hour and, you know, stopping himself and, you know, it looks effortless, right. You know, coming, and he's running a full sprint. So that stuff's really helped me, just watching Kyle and learning from him and, you know, other guys in the league like JJ Redick and, you know, guys like that who I've really, you know, relied on. And, you know, it's always good to have guys, you know, that have come before you that you can always, you know, look back and watch their film. And it's super helpful.
We talked about this a little bit before we turn on the mics here and started recording, but you've now played and lived in the NBA. You've been in Chicago, Oklahoma City, New York, Dallas, Indiana, and now San Antonio. That's like six cities in 7 years. A lot of people, I think from fans of the NBA, we just think, okay, just why don't you just go play? This guy's been traded here. He signed here. Like, these are actually human beings that have lives that have to, like, sell their place they're living in and then go buy a new place and get used to a new city. Like, what's that been like for you in having to be in and move so much and be around in these different parts of the country and get acclimated but still be able to go perform?
Yeah, you know, I've really gotten to enjoy it. You know, it was a little stressful, you know, moving around, but I feel like I've always been the right age for it. You know, I'm not married with kids yet. You know, it's been really easy for me to transition into that because I've got to live in some of the best cities in the country, you know, Chicago and New York and, you know, Dallas. And, you know, there's just really good cities to live in, you know, in your mid-20s, young mid-20s. So I've really enjoyed that part of it. But, you know, I'm just so ready to be settled in somewhere. And if I didn't have my mom, you know, it'd be impossible. Like, she, like, really enjoys it. Like, she needs to open up her own moving company because she takes care of everything. Like, I literally sit here. She's probably doing some work for me right now on furniture and talking to the moving guy and where's this going, you know. So if I didn't have her, I'd be screwed. But she has she's been so good through all of it. And my brother's been helping me out a ton too. So if I didn't have them, it wouldn't be as nearly as smooth as it's been. But I've definitely learned to take some stuff to Goodwill here and there because I have so much, you know, gear and just old clothes, and it actually is a good way to kind of declutter when you move. True. So I've really got a lot more organized, and my dad's really pumped because he looks a little skinnier in a black Spurs polo, so he's super excited about that. But I mean, we have more NBA gear than anyone in the country.
I bet.
It's crazy.
I bet. Yeah. And then shout out to GPS being able to take you to different places. I know for me, like when I go to these different cities calling games for Fox, like if I didn't have my GPS, like I wouldn't make it to my hotel. I wouldn't make it to the arena. Like I wouldn't know how to get anywhere.
Yeah, thank God for Google Maps and, you know, all this stuff and, like, all these, like, blogs that tell you where to go to eat.
Right.
You kind of learn the city just over your phone. So it's been super nice. And, I played with Nick Collison in OKC, and, you know, he was there for his whole career, you know, 18 years. I'm
that's
like,
crazy.
God, that sounds boring.
Right.
Like, I couldn't see myself, you know, staying somewhere for, you know, that long. Like, after my career, like, I feel like I've – really, there's been some really positive sides to it. I've met so many people, you know, every road trip I go on, I know someone on the other staff or another player or another trainer. Like, I've just really connected with a ton of people. So I've really, really enjoyed that part of it. You know, I think post career, it'll help a lot just because I have so many connections now with all these organizations.
Well, and you learn that there's so many different ways. You see so many different ways in how they run their organization, how they run practice, how they do this, how do that. Like, you realize there's a lot of different ways to be successful. So that's also got to be cool to see as well.
For sure. Yeah. There's so many different styles, you know, there's so many different coaching styles, so many different ways to, you know, operate a team. And it's been really, really cool to see and very interesting to see. But, you know, everything I've seen from the Spurs so far, you can see why they've been so successful. I mean, totally. They're just, like, on top of it. Everything you need, they're there for you, and, like, they're just super helpful. So I'm just excited to be around them because, you know, they've obviously produced so many coaches and, you know, trainers. Like, everywhere you go in the NBA, someone's from San Antonio. So it's kind of like the place to be. I'm pumped for it.
I want to talk a little Creighton here. What was it like watching this year's Creighton team get over that hump and make it to the Sweet 16. I mean, I was like I was like fighting back tears watching it. It was emotional just because I know what this grind has been like, starting all the way back, you know, from Sears and Walker and Buford and those guys. Like it's been a 20-year journey.
Man, it was so exciting to watch. You know, I just it was so cool that it got to happen in Indianapolis. Yep. Where I was, and it just sucked I couldn't go to any of the games, but just that group alone has done so much for Creighton and Omaha. You know, I don't think those guys get enough credit, you know, like Marcus and Mitch and DJ, Denzel, you know, all those guys have put in so much, you know, to get to this point. And just to be an alum, you know, just watching as a proud alum, just seeing to where we've got, you know, I think a lot of people doubted us when we were going into the Big East and could we sustain the success we've had in the Valley. And, you know, there's been a lot of question marks there, and just to be able to get over that hump finally, you know, it was amazing to watch. And I'm just super happy for my dad and all those coaches and players that have put in so much work to get here, and just, you know, just the better people they are off the floor too. Just the way they have really embraced Omaha and Omaha's embraced them. It's been super fun to watch. And, you know, I think it's going to continue. They got such a good class now, and, you know, they're all super young kids. It's crazy, but it's I think the future is super bright there, and I'm just excited for the future because I think we can make it a lot further than a Sweet 16.
Agree. I mean, once you break down that door, it kind of feels like you can exhale, and that now the possibilities are. That was the thing hanging over the program. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. just you haven't been to the Sweet 16. You haven't been to the Sweet 16, and now that door's been beat down, you feel like now, hey, anything's possible. Did you
100%?
Did you feel like, was there any part of you that when you watched it thought, man, fuck, that was supposed to be me. That was supposed to be us. Like, because you had three games where, you know, and I know we got to the tournament, and I know that's a weird feeling for people, you know, like, was there a part of you that drummed up old wounds too, of being like, oh, how did we not make it to the Sweet 16?
Yeah, man, a little bit. You know, it's one of those deals where it's like, God, we were so good, and we just played so bad in that game. And it's one of those deals you just like can't get over. You know? Right. So there's a part of me that's like, God, I wish that could have been us. I really wish that could have been us. But you can't be too mad because you're just like, you're so happy for your alma mater.
Right. No question. No question.
I definitely felt it when I got to San Antonio because I was like,
I was going to say,
this is the arena. Yeah. So we got to redeem ourselves there. But I definitely look back. You know, I don't think about the Baylor game too much. I always just think about, you know, the good times we had, and, yeah, you know, how good of a team we were and what we did transitioning into the Big East. I mean, if we wouldn't have done that, we wouldn't have gotten these recruits, you know, Marcus and Mitch and all those guys, they wouldn't even be here, you
totally.
Know? So
yep.
You got to look at it like that too.
Totally.
What we did, you know, obviously what your guys' groups did and Kyle's group and Sears and Dana and all those guys, it's just all led to this. So
right.
You got to give credit to everyone. And it really felt like we were a part of that. You know, it wasn't just them. It was all of us. So
yeah.
You got to still have that mindset, and hopefully you make a Final Four. You never know.
Right.
And hopefully, you know, the sky's the limit for this program because, you know, it's such a good university and the Big East, and who the hell knows what's going to happen in college athletics, but it's a good time to be a Blue Jay fan, and you know, I think the future is super bright.
What about, let's talk about our guy, Bruce Rasmussen. Just a legend, man. I mean, the most influential figure in the history of Creighton athletics. I mean, there's going to be a statue for the guy. I mean, he almost spent three full decades building Creighton into what it is, you know. What you guys had a pretty special relationship, you and Rass did. What, when you think of Rass, what do you think of now that he's retiring?
Man, it's still hard to believe, you know, that he's done. You know, it's just, that's all I've known. You know, that's all Creighton's known is Rass. He's been there for so long. And, you know, it's definitely an emotional day when he announced it. You know, I was actually back in Omaha a couple of days before that, and I kind of got word of it. And I was in there working out at the facility, and, you know, I just went up to his office, and he wasn't in there. And I was like, I started to write a letter. I was writing a letter and just leave it on his desk. But as I was like finishing up, Rass came in. So it was perfect. We had a really good sit down. We talked for like 45 minutes and just kind of reminiscing on old times. And, you know, it feels like yesterday I was 17 years old, you know, showing up at Creighton and on my visit when Dana was there and, you know, Bruce was there in the old gym. You know, he's around every day. I sat with him in his office on the recruiting visit. And I thought that was really unique because I didn't experience that on every visit I went on. And so that just set the tone on the kind of guy he is. He sat down with me and my mom in his office and, you know, he told me, he's like, I think you're going to be a really special player. Like, I think you just have Creighton written all over you. Right. And at the time, my dad wasn't even the coach yet. And he's like, if I ever get the chance to hire another coach, your dad's going to be my first call. So it was just crazy how ironic it was and how everything worked out. And, you know, here we are today, you know, celebrating his however many years he was there. And it just, Creighton would not be where it's at without Rass. And, you know, we're certainly going to miss him, but, you know, he's still going to be around and I'm sure I'll have his hands on things. And, you know, we're just super appreciative of him. And I think any student athlete that has come in to Creighton would say the same thing.
Right. I mean, it seems like it's rare to run into a student athlete that went to Creighton that didn't have a relationship with him and like a good relationship with him. And that takes work, but it also just, he just did it so effortlessly. He's probably one of the easiest guys to make a connection with that I've ever been around. And I'm not even totally sure what to attribute it to because he's like, you know, I mean, he's got like his Rass jokes, which are all, you know, I always think they're really funny. You know what I mean? But he's got like those canned jokes that I love. And like, I mean, he's just so authentic, I guess is maybe really the way I'd put it. But it's crazy how easily he just bonds with people.
He really does. And, you know, he's just one of the best human beings I've ever met. And, you know, it's one of those deals, you know, like I know guys that play baseball at Creighton. You know, girls that have played soccer and like everyone knows Rass the same way. Like he made everyone feel special, you know, like,
right.
I was obviously, you know, in the limelight, you know, getting all these awards and he treated, you know, the 12th man on the team the same way. So it's like, he just had a way of just really connecting with everyone. And, you know, you'd be at study hall at 8:30 PM, you know, studying and you'd, Rass would come in and talk to you. You're like, right. Don't you just go home already? Like go home. And he just was always there for you. You know, obviously Creighton, the facilities and everything, you know, none of this would be possible without him. So, you know, I really applaud that man. And, you know, he's been, you know, like a father figure in my life. So I've really, it really means, you know, a lot to me. You know, everything he's accomplished and I'm just super happy. And I'm hoping we can keep it going.
I know. You bring up the, you know, we talked about the recruiting class that Creighton's got here. You know, I mean, it's still nuts to me that Creighton has a top five recruiting class in the country. Like it's just, you know, that's just crazy to me. But have you seen any of these young dudes play? Like, have you gotten to be around them at all? Like, can you give me any nugget on any of the new guys at all?
Yeah. I mean, they're all just really good kids. First off, you know, I think Creighton has a way of, you know, recruiting the human, you know, and then, you know, the player is going to take care of itself, but they're just all really good kids. And I think, they're all just super unselfish guys. And I got a chance to spend some time with them. When I was back, you know, we were out at the lake house and, you know, my dad had them all out, you know, just talking to them. It's crazy. I'm like, I always have to remind myself, these guys are like 3 or 2 years younger than my sister who like feels so young to me. So it's crazy. You know, these kids have changed, you know, they're just really, really good kids. And, you know, I think I was in the gym probably at like 7 a.m. or whatever at Creighton. And, you know, there's John Kristoff, you know, the kid from Seattle. Yep. He's at the gun shooting. You know, he's constantly working. So I really enjoyed watching him work. And obviously seeing, you know, Nembhard compete in the Canada, the FIBA games. I think he's going to be really special. I think he's just a floor general who can, you know, get everyone involved. And obviously with, you know, Arthur and Mason and kid from Oklahoma,
Trey Alexander
is a stud. I think it's just such a good class because they all bring different things and they're going to mesh really well together.
It's exciting.
So I'm really excited. They all seem to really get along. And I just think this new staff with, you know, Jalen and Ryan, and obviously Al sticking around. I think the future's bright because those guys are just such good recruiters, and they're just really good at relating to these young guys.
I got to ask you about the NIL stuff that went through on July 1st. Now that these college athletes can make money off their name, image, and likeness. You would have been the kind of guy that would have probably made quite a bit of money, especially your junior and senior year. It'll be interesting to see how this goes. I was laughing. I think JJ Redick maybe had a tweet that he's like, I'd have spent all my NIL money on Natty Light and Lacoste polos back in the day, which I thought was fantastic. But what do you see with all that stuff? I mean, obviously, I'm happy that these guys are going to be able to capitalize and make money. I think it's going to inevitably seep into recruiting, which kind of concerns me a little. But what do you think, man? As a guy that would have made a ton when you were at Creighton, what do you think?
I thought about it a little bit, and you know, obviously there would have been some opportunities there. But I'm glad it wasn't around when I was in college, because I just think it'd just be a huge distraction. You know, I think obviously the money would have been great and all that, but like I like to play basketball, you know, just to play basketball. Like I obviously enjoy getting paid to play basketball, but there's just a love for the game. And when you're in college, I just think it could have been a huge distraction. And I just hope it doesn't creep into locker rooms. You know, I thought, you know, some guys are going to get paid more than others. That's just the facts, you know? Yeah. And I hope we can please everyone. And I hope that happens everywhere. But the reality is that there's going to be a guy making a lot more on the team. And I just hope that the locker room stays, you know, intact. I hope there isn't a ton of jealousy and all that, because I can definitely see that stuff going on. But I think a place like Creighton is a huge advantage. I think it helps us, because you know Omaha has so much money and so many companies and so many Fortune 500 companies, and you know there's a lot of opportunity there. So I think it only helps us in recruiting. You know, some schools it's really going to hurt, which is sad. You know, I think these mid majors, you know, they're going to get killed. You know, it's going to ruin some stuff there. And, you know, it's almost like if a guy can get an opportunity to get paid somewhere else, like you wouldn't blame them for leaving. But, you know, I hope it doesn't kill college athletics, because, you know, it's such a good product. You know, the March Madness, the college football stuff, the college football Saturdays, you know, you just don't want all that stuff to get in the way of the game and, you know, the fans and the camaraderie. And I hope that doesn't happen.
Right. I'm right there with you. I wanted to get your take on this, because I know you haven't played overseas, and I don't think you played in the G League for an extended period. Have you ever played did you ever get sent down at any time to play a little bit in the G League?
I never did. Yeah. Okay. I never did in Chicago. I kind of wanted to, but I never really did, because I had the knee scope and I was just kind of injured, and they didn't want me like pushing it in G League games. But when I was like had the concussion, I actually practiced with like the Windy City Bulls a few times, but I never actually played in a G League game.
The Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by my good friends at Runza. Everybody that knows my athletic background, you know, I was a quarterback in high school, but you know, I believe in establishing the run game. And even more than that, I believe in establishing the Runza game. That's an original Runza cheeseburger, some onion rings, double dipped in a homemade batter, little bit of a pop to top it off. You know, in football, you establish a run. But at lunch, you establish the Runza. It's just that simple. So get out to Runza today and establish the Runza game, or check out the delicious salads. You got the chicken bacon ranch salad, sweet berry chicken salad, and my personal favorite, the Southwest chicken salad. You got to get out to Runza, establish a Runza game, or get a salad. Either way, you are going to leave satisfied. Runza makes it all better. The reason I bring that up is I'm curious how you see the decisions that players have now. You know, like, you know, some of these players, they have the you know, a guy even like Marcus Zagorowski, Tyshawn a year ago, you had this same one. I know we've talked about this, but it seems like there are almost more options now where you can stay in college, you can leave and try to go be in the NBA, you can be in the G League, you can go overseas. You even see now there's this, I think it's called Overtime Elite. It's this new professional basketball league where I think they just paid some high school four-star kid like $1.2 million or something like that, which that's just like, holy shit, you know, like,
crazy,
I mean, it's crazy. I guess as someone that now you've are a very well-traveled basketball guy, how do you see the decisions that players have in weighing all of that stuff?
man, it's overwhelming. It's right. crazy. I mean, it's just, there's so much stuff that, you know, goes on now in AAU. You got so many people in your ear, and it's just, there's just a lot going on. But I'm glad these kids have opportunities to do what they want. You know, it's good to see. You know, I think obviously if you're going G League route, you're kind of betting on yourself a little bit, you know, like obviously it worked out for the guys this year with, you know, Jalen Green and Kuminga.
Yep.
But I think you have to be a pretty like consensus, like top five guy in the country. I think it's going to be tough for guys that, you know, are kind of on the fence, you know, like I think it's going to be more popular with those, you know, those really blue chip five star yes. guys. And then I think the NIL is really going to help with, I think it could help the college game a lot, because if a guy is on the fence of going pro or staying, you know, and they might not get drafted, you know, you can come back to your senior year and make, you know, some money.
Yes.
So I think that stuff, stuff could be huge, because, yeah. you know, when I was deciding on between, you know, going after my junior year or coming back my senior year, you obviously think about the money a little bit, but, mm-hmm. You know, if I had opportunity to make a ton while I'm in college, so obviously you'd want to take that. So I think it's going to help with kids like that, that might not be a great NBA player, but a really good college player. It'll help them a lot, you know, financially, by sticking around in college.
Right. Right. Yeah, I agree. I think the one thing I like about the NIL stuff is what you just said. Like, I think it could keep some of the top guys, you know, Johnny Juzang, you know, the good big guy for Gonzaga, whose name I'm blanking on.
I know who you're talking about.
God, I cannot believe
the guy with the mustache.
The guy with the mustache. How are we not thinking of that guy's name? This is driving me crazy. But you know, dudes like that are born. Hunter Dickinson, another guy at Michigan. You know, mm-hmm. the guys like that, I think, are going to Drew Timmy. Drew Timmy's his name.
Yep.
Drew Timmy.
Yep.
There we go.
Timmy.
You know,
yep.
guys
Timmy.
Like that now can come back, make a little money, and they kind of get the best of both worlds. But it's just, yeah, it's an interesting. It's guys have options now. Options are good. I also think there's this weird thing, like, I don't know if you agree with this, but, like, sometimes I get worried about, like, you know, take a guy like Jalen Green. Like, I feel like the G League is a weird place where you're, like, you're on a team, but it's not really like, everyone's, like, individually, everybody's kind of thinking about themselves. And even now, they'll send somebody down, you know, and this guy's, now all of a sudden, somebody that was on Oklahoma City's Thunder's team's got to go play for Grant Gibbs, and Gibbs is mandated to play him 25 minutes for the next four games, and then that guy's gone. That creates a weird thing where it's like operating within the team and building a system is it's just different than when you're playing for Tom Izzo at Michigan State or something like that. Like, so I think right. there's also something that gets lost a little bit when guys don't play college, and maybe I'm just seeing right. what I want to see.
No, I definitely agree with that. Yeah, there is an aspect of that. And, you know, I think when I was, like, in college, Kyle Korver used to tell me all the time, you can't put a price tag on, you know, another year of college. So that's another thing. These kids, you know, they're missing out on, you know, maybe the best year of their life, you know, going to a, you know, like a Michigan State or a Kentucky or a right. Creighton, you know, like where you really get to experience, you know, the college life. You know, you get to be around a team. You get to have that camaraderie in the locker room when you're not just – traveling to G League cities, and you know, guys are kind of thinking about their next contract, and you know, it's just, it's different basketball for
right,
sure. So
right.
I think there's some pros and cons to it, because I think guys like Jonathan Kuminga and Jalen Green, they probably really benefited from learning from Jarrett Jack or learning from Amir Johnson, guys that played in the league for 15, 20 years, you know, they get to lean on them, but you're not going to get that everywhere you go. So there's some pros and cons to it, but you know, I agree with you. I think there's something about being in a locker room with a lot of guys your same age, you know, going to like a college football tailgate, or
yes.
you know, going
right.
to a restaurant or going to a bar, get a beer, you know, just
right.
you can't really you can't put a price tag on that. And I think it really kind of helps your development as a guy, as a human, you know. I think that stuff's huge.
By the way, I ended up bringing up Grant Gibbs there, who's the head coach of Oklahoma City's G League team, and he was actually their summer league coach for OKC here in Vegas. Do you guys ever talk shop like this with coaching stuff? Does he ever, like, or is it all still just laughs and giggles with Gibbs when you call him up, man?
We do a little bit of both. You know, I was actually just talking to him today because he's stuck in his hotel in Vegas quarantined because he got COVID.
Oh,
so
Grant.
he wasn't able to really coach their last four or five games. So he, you know, he's probably in there grinding, watching film right now. Who knows? But, you know, he definitely hits me up with questions from time to time, you know, about certain guys. And, you know, obviously he's coached a lot of guys, not that I played with, but just he likes my opinion on stuff. And
absolutely.
I've played for a ton of coaches. So he picks my brain on stuff like that too. So, you know, Gibbs is, he's one of a kind.
He
you know, he's a great friend. And I think he's got a hell of a future as a coach because he relates so well to players and very brilliant mind basketball wise. And, you know, I talk to guys from OKC all the time and they just rave about him. So, whenever you're in that organization and thriving, you got a good career path ahead. So I'm just really, really happy for him. And just to see him have all the success has been great.
I can't believe that we've gone this far and I haven't asked you about the biggest news of the offseason here. And that's the fact that Ethan Rogge got married. The lumberjack has been tamed. What, I mean, Rogge's wifed up now, huh?
He is. I got a chance to go to that wedding out in Colorado and, you know, it's kind of a running joke between us. You know, we were kind of on the playoff fringe there with the Pacers. We were in the play-in game, and Rogge's wedding was like, I think it was Memorial Day weekend, and we were like, "Is Doug going to be done in time? What's going to happen here?" And, you know, they were all like following, you know, the play-in game.
Right,
if we would have made the playoffs, obviously I would have been thrilled. But they would have, they all wanted me at the wedding.
Right,
so,
right.
I think they're happy to see us lose. And you know, a couple of his friends texted me, "We know why you lost that. You just wanted to be at the wedding." So he met a great girl in Chicago and they got married and they're living out in Denver. So really happy for Ethan. And, you know, I always get a chance to catch up with him when we come play the Nuggets. So get a chance to see him a little more now that we're in the West.
That's true. More Rogge in your life is always a good
thing. I don't know if that's good or bad.
I don't know. Depending on how you want to look at it. I'm not totally sure. You know, I think you must've been probably doing some Team USA stuff because I had Gibbs and Rogge came to my wedding and Gibbs and Rogge, their wedding gift to me and Kim was a bottle of Barton's vodka, the cheapest vodka you can get. They bought us a handle of Barton's vodka that still, we've not drank it, but I can't get myself to part ways with it. It's sitting in my liquor cabinet upstairs. But whenever I think of Rogge and Gibbs and marriage or anything like that, I just think of a fucking bottle of Barton's vodka. Oh,
that's the most Gibbs and Rogge thing of all time.
Isn't it?
And, you know, I've probably had plenty of those bottles in their dorm room at Opus back in the day. Those were some times for sure.
The perfect wedding gift from those two guys. It was fantastic. I love it. Dougie McDermott. Doug, went almost an hour, man. I appreciate your time. I cannot wait to watch you ball out for the Spurs. I need to get my Spurs gear right so I can be repping you you know, when I'm walking around the streets of Omaha and Lincoln, man. But congratulations
on
everything.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate it.
You got it, Doug. Thank you, pal.
Yep, we'll get you guys down to a game sometime in San Antonio and we'll play a little golf maybe. So,
oh, that's
it's,
music.
It's always
tires.
Good catching up,
it.
Nick. I appreciate it, man.
You got it, Doug. Thanks, pal.
Yep.
All right, my thanks to Pella. If you're thinking about a new window or a new door, now is the time. Check them out online on the web at PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. And my thanks to my good friends at Runza. Best fries on the planet. Great burgers. Cheese Runza. Delicious. The food is simply fantastic. Runza makes it all better.
A Huda Media Production.